Bathhouse Ballads, April the 10th, 2010. It's all in the touch, skinship. This week, I was invited to the apartment of a student's father who, after a soju session, happened to find me alone eating dinner in a small restaurant. I'd been both training and to the bathhouse, and at 10:10 p.m, after an intense day, I didn't really want to party. Unlike many in a similar state of being a little tipsy, he refrained from coaxing me into drinking, and so, feeling in control, I agreed to accompany him to his apartment. Needless to say, my dinner was paid for. Outside, on the street, he led me by the hand, and throughout the hour or so we sat on the floor, in his apartment, surrounded by his family, he kept giving me high fives, after which he'd hold my hand, interlocking his fingers around mine, or squeezing my palm with both his hands, and every so often, in a slightly inebriated fashion, he'd say, "Nick, I love you," or "Nick, you are my friend." I can imagine how intensely invasive such situations can be for many Western men. From the age of 18 to 27, I lived in West Germany, and in my free time, I trained with friends in a Taekwondo school. Although most of the students were German, a fair few were Turkish, and whenever they shook your hand, which, as is the custom in Germany, was upon every meeting, they'd shake it and continue to hold it. It seemed they held it for minutes, and as each second passed, I could feel my body tensing. Worse, however, was when they began caressing it between their hands, until, with temperature rising, you could feel your palm becoming horribly clammy. Today, such innocent intimacy doesn't bother me, and I can as easily initiate it as be the recipient. But if I think back to my first experiences of such behaviour, I can relive the horror. Without any doubt, it was like someone going in your zipper. But of course, you couldn't pull their hand away. That would have been quite rude. And despite the fact my friends and I were only 18 or 19, that we'd never been to university and were soldiers, we had enough experience to know the discomfort stemmed from a simple clash of cultures. It just had to be endured. By the time I returned to England some years later, I wasn't shocked when a Kenyan friend held my hand in Richmond, London, on a busy Saturday afternoon. Within a Korean context, my new friend is behaving quite naturally, and his intimacy should not be for one moment construed as sexually motivated. In a male-to-male setting, Koreans are much quicker to initiate skinship than are British or North Americans, and when initiated, it is quickly upgraded to a level we would construe as almost sexual, certainly suggestive, and definitely alarming. Men and boys sharing umbrellas, arms draped over each other's shoulders, sometimes holding hands, that's the sort of stuff homos do. I googled skinship prior to writing this entry, and the fifth reference on the very first site, Urban Dictionary, began, "Disturbingly intimate skin-to-skin relationship between adolescent boys in Japan." This value judgment itself struck me as disturbing. However, more judgments were to follow. This one from a new English teacher in Japan working in a junior high school. "Man, I went into one of my classes today, and this one boy was sitting on the lap of another one right there, and he had his one hand in his half-buttoned-down shirt, feeling up the other boy's chest, and with the other hand, he was playing with the other boy's hair. Both of them seemed fine with it, and nobody else seemed to care at all. And I knew both of the kids have girlfriends, because I talked to them after class. It was so weird." Another veteran English teacher writes, "It's called skinship. I don't know why, but they all love that shit over there." I am tempted to dismiss such comments, as I know some people can be blind to travel. That travel doesn't necessarily broaden the mind. I met a very pleasant fellow countryman a few weeks ago. We were roughly the same age, both ex-army, having in fact served at the same time and in the same area, both professional school teachers, both history teachers, and with a lot in common. He had only been in Korea a few weeks, so I passed no judgment, but when I asked if he'd like to go to the movies, he rapidly declined, assuming Koreans would think two men watching a film together gay. I have to ask myself whether I am weird to find the intimacy of skinship endearing, and should the hostility and masculine bravado I am accustomed to, back home, be preferable? That girls can be intimate with each other without being labelled lesbian, while for boys the only opportunity for physical contact is generally through a contact sport, in my opinion, epitomises the lives of insects, where every other insect, even of one's own species, is a potential threat. Skinship is both a Japanese and Korean concept, derived originally from the relationship between mother and baby, where physical contact is an important bonding process. The term is used to describe general intimate physical contact, as between parents and children, as well as a more sexual expression involving petting, especially between teenagers. The Korean term, an example of Konglish, appears to differ in practice from Japanese skinship, as it is practiced between men and especially teenage boys. It involves a range of common and not so common practices, including draping arms over each other, sharing umbrellas, sitting in each other's laps, massaging, stroking, toying with each other's hair, holding hands, playing with fingers, resting head on another's lap or thigh, playing with ears, etc., etc. It can also be used to describe bonding with someone through sports or games, and which are often common practices among businessmen. In the West, I have always found that even cursory physical contact between people, for example, touching of an arm or shoulder, signifies a deeper level of relationship. I can remember touching the arms of a parent on parents' evening in schools 10 years ago, even parents whom I only met once, yet seemed to have an empathy with, which resulted in the fleeting touching of a hand or arm. And I have noted in the past that a shortcut to bonding is through physical touch, but its initiation has to be mutual and stress-free for it to be successful. Of course, physical contact and its importance in bonding form the basis of courses designed to promote workplace relationships. Those courses where a partner has to fall backwards and you catch them, or some such activity. However, digressing momentarily, forced intimacy can occasionally have a negative effect. I recall once going to a friend's birthday party. She was English, but practiced an Indian religion, and along with 20 or so other friends, sat in a large and busy North London restaurant and forced to sit in designated seats next to people you didn't know. We had to close our eyes, turn to the person next to us, and then simultaneously begin feeling the contours of each other's faces. The cringingly stressful procedure was accompanied by New Age whale music. It was horrible, not because of the intimacy, but because you knew the rest of the restaurant were watching you in disbelief. Then we had to turn to the other partner and massage their shoulders. All I could think was, Karl Marx's grave is just down the road, and I've never seen it. There's a time and a place for physical intimacy, for skinship, but not in a busy restaurant on a Friday night to the serenade of migrating humpbacks. So, after coffee, some strawberries, some holding of hands and intertwining of fingers, I actually feel closer to my friend than several hours earlier. Already he's inviting me to the beach at Busan, and even suggests a date. The chances are it will materialise, and then he progresses to ask me if I'll take his son to the UK when I next go on holiday. I agree, and then to make light of it, as I know it's probably the soju talking, I joke about he'd fit in my bag, and meanwhile Ben, his son, is eagerly taking a photograph of me and muttering that his friends won't believe his teacher has been to his house. I have probably taught more students back in the UK than in Korea, but I have never sat in a parent's house. I have never been invited into a parent's house. I have never socialised with a parent. I have never been invited on a trip with them. I have never had a student photograph me because they needed proof a teacher had been in their house. I have never had a student hold my hand or do any more than fleetingly touch me, and the same goes for a parent, and neither parent or student has really ever wanted to associate with me. And all in one instance, I feel a yearning to be back home with my friends and family, and a sense that this is home. Certainly, it is where I am valued.